Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ online ministry. Services are presented on YouTube, Facebook, and our website 1 week following recording. This week's message is titled, The Resurrection and Newness of All Things. Thank you to Ed, Alan, Jim, and Don for being involved in the service. The scripture reading is Isaiah 65, 17 to 19.
Good morning, everybody. Glad to see so many here today on Easter Sunday. The day that we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. Also, Great Lakes Community Service Day is coming up on March 17th. Now, please get in touch with Stacy at GL if you would like a team of students to volunteer to your home or to your organization. So happy birthday to Kristen and to Gloria and to Barb. Happy anniversary to Sherry and Ernie and Amy and Richard. We've had a few prayer requests, new ones come in the last couple of weeks, one of which is a cousin of Kate, Kevin, who is in hospice in England with throat cancer. She's concerned about that and would like us to pray for him. And also praying for Michelle, who runs the yoga group that has been using our building. She's mourning the passing of her husband. It's a good thing for us to be together in person and online, and so we welcome everyone. Also, the prayer request, we've been praying for Val's family in the Ukraine. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are grateful for your love and concern for us. We're grateful that in your infinite wisdom that you've made it possible for us to know you, that we can understand to some degree how the world came into being and for your purposes here, and for this amazing gift of Jesus who was sent to this world to live amongst us, to teach us what you're about, and to help us to understand you to some degree, and then ultimately sacrifice his life in humility for all of humankind, for the past before he was here, and for the future that we are involved in now. For this great gift, and for this great sacrifice, and for the resurrection that we celebrate today, we give you thanks and praise. For those mentioned today that have concerns, medical concerns, grieving concerns, concerns for health of and welfare of family and faraway places and close to home, we pray that your peace might be with them, that they might feel your comfort, that you might feel the love in that we can participate in some way in this. But we know that divine power and the power of the Spirit brings about peace, brings about healing, brings about understanding, and we pray, Father, that you might act in these cases. Please be with us today as we worship you and lift your name up, and that we participate in helping each other to know that they are loved and that we are loved, that we might honor both loving you and loving each other. To this end, we pray with thankful hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. It's good to see you all here. And even see some faces now without masks. I can see smiles. I was reading the piece that Don is going to be talking about, and I was thinking about the new heaven, new earth, and then I thought, what if Jesus never came, never died, had no resurrection? How different would I be, and how different would this world be? If he didn't rise from the dead, there'd be no Christianity. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. What would the world be like today without Christ and salvation? Definitely not better. Real Christians change the world. Others, not so much. Today's world would be very, very different. And most of us probably wouldn't even be here because our ancestors might not have made it. Or we might be slaves. The value of human life in Jesus' time and still in many places of the world, human life is cheap and disposable. There's no real value on it unless you had value yourself by wealth, position, or whatever. Pagan gods did not teach people morals. That's from St. Augustine in his City of God. 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, on account of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12:2. We would have a very different value system if we didn't have Christ, if he never showed up, if God didn't send him. Would we have any intrinsic worth? Not much. It would all be based on externals. Life worth little. The intrinsic worth of each man, woman, and child are a child of God with an immortal soul because Christ came, because Christ taught us. Infanticide, that was very common throughout the world. And if we look around the world today, it's not that uncommon. But it was Christians who fought against that practice, who had it changed. Slavery. Christians were the one who fought to end slavery. No one else. In some parts of the world, it still goes on. Marriage. Marriage was very different. It was not a sacred bond or an alliance of souls. Women's rights. It was Christians who fought for women's rights. In many parts of the world, they still don't have those rights, their property. I think one of the strongest things that Christ brought to us was compassion. And I think that really does differentiate Christianity from all other religions. Charities. Christians are the most prolific givers by a huge margin over others. And that's today. That wouldn't be happening. So there wouldn't be charities like that. Hospitals. They were started in the Middle Ages and staffed by Christians. Education. There would be no education, no schools and universities. All those major universities that in the Western world, all started by Christians, all started by the church. They molded us in a very different way than if they hadn't been there. A special concern for the well-being of the weak and oppressed. That is not in evidence in many places and wouldn't be in evidence if it wasn't for Christianity. Child labor. It was Christians who fought and had child labor made illegal. Science. You know, there's a big war now supposedly between science and Christianity, but it's not. I mean, science would be very different because all of the major scientists who started the work, like Kepler and you name them, but they were Christians, strong Christians. The Bible provided them with a framework from which to work, a baseline from which to start. Without it, would have been very different. What about me personally? I would be unsaved. I would have no redemption, no salvation. No knowledge of real forgiveness, no freedom from guilt, no moral compass, I'd be strictly by whatever the society's standards were at that time, but I would have no morals, no moral compass. I would have no guidance from God. I'd have to rely on me. That's frightening. No Holy Spirit within to change me. Without that, the emptiness is incredible. Without the Holy Spirit inside of me, I would never have changed. Not in the way I have. My life is very different as a Christian than it was as a non-Christian. My focus is very different. The way I love is very different. I'd have no personal connection to God the Father. I'd be alone. I'd have no peace. Wouldn't be able to get the peace. In the toughest of times, the only place I found that peace is with the Lord on a personal basis. My interactions with others would be very different. They'd be very self-focused rather than other-focused. Would I have empathy? I don't know. I have much more empathy now than I did then, before I became a Christian. Trust. How would I know how to trust or be trustworthy? How would I be forgiven? How would I learn to forgive others? Without God's love, I'd be a very different person. I would have no personal relationship with God, no real hope in the future, and no new heaven or new earth to look forward to. If not for Jesus, his birth, his death, and his resurrection, this world would be very different, and so would I. Lord, we thank you that you sent your Son, Jesus, to us, that he was born, lived, taught, and then he died for our sins and was resurrected to give us hope, to bring us towards God. Lord, we just thank you for that. We know that this world would be so very, very different. And we're just so, so grateful that you came, Lord Jesus, and that you did what you did. And help us to remember as we take this communion and what you mean to us and what we need to remember. Amen.
Everyone, I looked around the room this morning and I just can't help but to think of how blessed we are to be able to come together and worship God without worry and without fear. It's just a wonderful thing that we can do this. Our scripture reading today is from Isaiah 65, 17 through 19. See, I will create a new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and crying will be heard no more.
Good morning, everyone. Made a quick trip to Sunridge yesterday for the funeral of a wonderful woman, Edith Preston, who, like all of our women here, really represent the fruit of God's Spirit. Love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness. So we welcome her in our lives today, knowing that we will see her again. This is what we've been talking about today, and for the rest of our lives, that the resurrection is part of who we are. Throughout the world this morning, ministers are standing up behind the pulpit, and the minister says, "He is risen." And the congregation responds, "He is risen indeed." So I hope it's not too inconvenient, but I'd like us to stand together and say that again with conviction. The minister says, "He is risen."
He is risen indeed.
I think you believe that. Thank you. You may be seated. N.T. Wright tells the story of being in a taxi cab, and he was wearing his clerical raiment on, and the taxi driver said, "You must be some kind of minister." And he said, "Well, as a matter of fact, that's where I just came from. I was doing an Easter service." And the taxi driver, and I can't repeat it in a Cockney accent, basically said, "Well, if it's true that Jesus was raised from the dead, and I believe he was raised from the dead, everything is just all right. No matter how much the world is in trouble, everything is all right. He's going to make everything all right." And I've heard him tell that story on several occasions. And it's a reminder for us, because it's so easy to feel overwhelmed, sometimes financial burdens, sometimes emotional burdens, just all kinds of challenges in life. But if we can remember that God knew us before we were born, he knew the exact time and places in which we would live, he has given us his son, he loves us, and life will be forever. We will be with those whom we've lost, who aren't lost. They are in God's love, and we will be together with them again. That's the resurrection. Christ doesn't end. And because we belong to Christ, neither do we. And we have this unique relationship with God and people around the world whom we don't know. And we look forward to the day when we will be together again. I have a host of scriptures today, and I guess what I was taught when I was in quotation preaching school, Bible college, you preach from the overflow. And when it comes to the resurrection, there is a lot of overflow. There's a lot of comments that need to be made. And one of the scriptures that we have read, I just want to repeat because it's pretty cool. It's one of the last things that God writes, if you will, in the Bible through John. And it's in chapter 21. And he says this. He said, "I saw a new heaven and new earth." That's something that you and I are going to experience someday. We're going to be part of it. We already are part of it through Christ. But he said, "I saw." We haven't seen it yet, but we will. "I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now,'" are you ready for this? "'Among the people.'" God's dwelling place is among us. It's among the people. And he will dwell with them. They will be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death. There'll be no more mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." And then he finishes by saying, write that down. That's something to remember. That's something to think about. And that's our reality. An older couple were looking to downsize, selling their large home and buying a house that was going to be much smaller. They looked at a cute home and they both loved it. You know what it's like when you go into a place and you feel at home, even though it's not your home. They looked around and they had a discussion afterward. And she said, "I love everything about that house, except the bathroom. It's just complete yuck. I don't think I could ever live there." And he said, "Honey, if you give me a week, I will restore it. It will be beautiful. It will be new. It will be transformed." You see, Scripture, and I kind of grew up with this, doesn't talk about the annihilation and destruction of all things. I remember revival meetings, and even as a young boy, I listened, and it scared the daylights out of me. It was frightening. There was great fear in listening to some of the things that were being said. And the older I get, the more I read Scripture, I kind of feel like that was the wrong message. The message is not about destruction. You better get everything right or else. That's not what the Bible is about. Jesus is all about, "For God so loved," and then you put your name in there, "God so loved you that he gave himself through Christ Jesus to us." We're part of this eternal life even now. Scripture doesn't talk about destruction. Rather, Jesus, Paul, Isaiah, and others all talk about the renewal, the restoration, the reconciliation of all things, that all things will be made well, that those whom we've loved and lost, we will be together again. Not destruction, but the Son of Man who sits on the throne encourages us with all this. And way back, and I'm going to be using a lot of Scripture today from the book of Isaiah, but way back some 800 years before Jesus was born, God was already talking about the restoration and the reconciliation of all things. Listen to what he said, Isaiah 65, 800 years before Jesus comes into the world. "See," God says, "I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create." 800 years ago, people heard that message. And today, we hear that message. The entire world sometimes seems out of joint, not just because of the pandemic. This world is not the world God intended, but he said that he's going to put it to rights, that he will renew and restore all things. And when Jesus died, it seemed that all of life and creation was doomed. But when Jesus was raised from the dead, that hope was restored. Life was renewed, and death no longer had dominion over life. Now, if you're with us last week, we talked about the blood of Christ, the death of Christ, that his shed blood was for our forgiveness of sins. And because of our forgiveness of sins, he reminds us that we have a raised life, a raised thinking, a new understanding of who we really are. And then these precious words by Jesus, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me." Now, I know this is a silly thing to do, but just bear with me. If you believe in Jesus Christ, would you just raise your hand? So, you're part of it. I am the resurrection, and the life. Whoever believes in me, this is where you put your name in, whoever believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And then he asks the question, do you believe this? How many believe it? And for those who don't, I pray that somehow God will enter your heart to say, you know, I think I do believe. See, even before our baptism reminds us about the resurrection. Many of us thought long and hard about being baptized. Part of what is said by Paul in Romans is, don't you know that as many of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death, the forgiveness of sins? We were buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead today through the glory of the Father, we too will live a new life, a life that is eternal. I never really thought about it before, but the Bible begins with new beginnings, of course. And the Bible never concludes. It finishes, but it doesn't finish. Because it concludes, but it doesn't conclude. It's all new beginnings. So Paul says this, 2 Corinthians 3:18, and we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, we are being transformed into his likeness. With ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit reminding us who we are in Christ Jesus. Sins are forgiven because of his death. Resurrection occurs, and our resurrection occurs because of his life. And we're part of all of that. It's not just life after death, but it's life after life after death. He won't abandon us or his creation. As he said, all things will be renewed. Ephesians 1:10, that he will bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. Not ghosts, but real people. I miss my mother. I'm not sure how many years it's been that she's been gone, but she's never gone. You remember loved ones who have passed. Sometimes you remember their words. You can hear their voice, even though it's been years. You can sometimes, I don't mean to be silly, smell them. I remember Sunday mornings, my mom would be singing away in the kitchen. And then just as we got into the car to go to church, I could tell that she had put on perfume. I never smelled my mother until Sunday mornings. She wanted to look good. She wanted to smell good. She wanted to be part of a happy church family. She was part of something that was more than just attending, that she was part of it somehow. And maybe, I don't know how any of us can explain that we're part of this. We're part of God, we're part of Christ, we're part of his Holy Spirit. They live in us, we live in them. And we do our best on a daily occasion, and sometimes life can be tough and it can be frustrating, but we know God has never left us for one moment. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am always with you. And then Paul talks about to these people at Philippi about the fact that our citizenship is already in Christ. Listen to what he says in Philippians 3, 20 and 21. Our citizenship is in heaven, as we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything, even us, bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies, arthritic knees, pain in the shoulder, gone. It's all under his control, so that we will be like, get this, his glorious body. Our body will be like his glorious body, not a ghost, not something floating around, but each of us individually, yet part of Christ. Somehow I think we kind of knew that. That we just sort of knew that God was more than just in and out in our life. That we sort of knew that Christ stands beside us, even though we forget sometimes. And that the Holy Spirit is whispering positive thoughts, that we forget about these things sometimes. But if we could just remember that we are part of this great and amazing kingdom. And sometimes things happen in life that are kind of strange and kind of unique. The time that Jesus died on the cross, there's a passage of scripture that I have sometimes forgotten, and I like to read it on occasion because I think it's pretty incredible. It says in Matthew 27, in verse 50, when Jesus was dying on the cross and he cried out again in a loud voice and he gave up his spirit. And then it says this, at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split. Are you ready to listen to this? And the tombs broke open, the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tomb after the resurrection, and they went into the holy city, and they appeared to many people. It's just an amazing scripture. Bill, I was at your funeral last week. What? What? And you can just imagine the conversations that are going on in the community because people that we had attended their funeral for are fine, walking around. We saw that you were ill, like for a long, long time, and you died. He said, I don't know what happened, but I'm alive. Nothing wrong with me. It's this little piece of information that we sometimes forget. We were created eternally. And for those whom we love who aren't with us in spirit, they will be with us in body again. You never lose who you love. They're always with you. And I know that you know that. So what I'd like to do for the remainder of my time today is go through certain just scriptures. And I apologize for people in the back room. I know my time is getting short. I just want to look at a couple of passages, probably more than I need to look. But in the book of Isaiah, there are all these scriptures that talk about what we've just been talking about a new heaven and a new earth coming into it. In Isaiah chapter 2, starting in verse 2, it says, in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills. Listen to this. And all nations will stream to it. Literally, no problem between Ukraine and Russia anymore. No problem. There will be peace. In fact, people will say, come, Let's go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we will walk in his paths. And there are other scriptures that deal with all of this. And here's one of my favorite passages, I think in all the Bible, because you can really picture this. Children love to hear this. In Isaiah chapter 11, verse 6, listen to this. The wolf will live with the lamb. We should read it maybe this way. The wolf will eat the lamb because that's what that would do. But no, that's never going to happen again. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat, not even growling. And a little child will lead them. Can you imagine? You sometimes see a child taking their puppy for a walk. One day you might be walking with this lion or leopard. It's just unique that what God created is good. And that goodness will always be there one day when God says it's time. A new heaven and a new earth. Heaven and earth coming together as one. No more fear. No more death, but the epitome of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. It's this picture of Jesus that we will be living. And so there's so many scriptures in this Isaiah. On one day, it says, this is chapter 19, in the day, that day, there will be a highway from Egypt to Assyria. Now, that may not mean like much, except they were always at odds with one another. The Assyrians will go to Egypt and the Egyptians to Assyria. The Egyptians and Assyrians will worship together. They couldn't talk to one another at a time. They wanted to annihilate one another at a time. And Isaiah says 800 years before Christ comes into the world. No, that's all going to be gone. They're going to be best friends. Blessed be my people, God says. People who may not even know God. God says, one day they will know me. There will be this peace. Or in chapter 25 of Isaiah, strong peoples will honor you. Cities of ruthless nations will revere you. You have been a refuge for the poor, a refuge for the needy, a refuge for those in distress, that you will be a shelter from the storm, a shade of the heat. And I know that many people here today already exemplify that in a powerful way. So let me be finished with these words, not mine, but I hope that you'll feel these words. Comfort. Comfort, my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed. All sin has been paid for. She has received from the Lord's hand double from all those sins. And a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up. Every mountain and hill will be made low. The rough ground shall be level and the rugged places a plain. That's one of Martin Luther King's favorite statements. That one day, all things will be renewed, restored, and revived. We look forward to that day. Amen.
One day a few years ago, Max came into my first period class in the morning, and he asked me an interesting question. He said, there are many world religions, and there are many major world religion leaders. So why should we believe in Christ? Why would we believe in Christianity? Okay. Start off with a simple question today. And I said, well, all the world religions have some things in common. They believe in something beyond our reality that has somehow impacted our life here on Earth. And these are basic questions that humans with any kind of imagination would ask, like, why are we here? Why are we on this little planet spinning in space, you know, away from just the perfect distance from the right kind of sun that produces the right kind of energies? Where do all these cells come from? How do they, you know? Because we ask those questions. And I said, and there's probably lots of good things that happen in these world religions. A lot of them have lots of things in common. They believe in a God. They believe in being good to people. And I said, only Christ was resurrected. And Max said, that's the key. That's a good answer, Mr. Ed. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are so grateful that your Son came to this world, lived amongst us. We're horrified at the death that he endured, but boy, we are rejoicing in the resurrection that Jesus had, was witnessed by people. And so for the foundation of our faith in Christ and faith in you as our God, we can be assured by this resurrection. As horrible as the death was, it's wondrous the resurrection was. And in that is the key thing that we believe, our Father, and we are grateful for it, that sign that you are our God. And that we need to follow you and be involved in similar kind of resurrection as we together as a community and as individuals believe in you and believe the path that you've set out for us in our lives here in this life and in the life beyond. For this we have hope and peace. And we pray, Father, that we might be thankful and rejoicing in this Savior that you have provided, who lives and continues to live, and that we might follow him into eternity. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for watching or listening. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We are currently holding in-person services following provincial COVID-19 regulations. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV, copyright 2011 by Biblica Inc., used by permission, all rights reserved, worldwide. Scriptures marked BSB are taken from the Holy Bible, Berean Study Bible, copyright 2020 by Bible Hub, used by permission, all rights reserved, worldwide. Berean.Bible for more. You can find out more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.